Yeah, so maybe I'll move down to the next slide here. So, this is the asset, right? It's 2.5 kilometers long, and it's about 300 meters wide, and it goes down at least 300 meters and fully open at depth. And what we've been able to find there through our PEA, which is now being updated to a feasibility study later this year, we've been able to find enough phosphate in the area for about 350 gigawatt hours of LFP batteries per annum. Now, what does that mean? That's enough to electrify half of the fleet of new vehicles in North America for the next, 25 to 50 years. Yeah, 20 million Canadian, over 20 million Canadian. And then we've got the non-dilutive funding from the Canadian government of 17.6 million. So if you total all that up, it's a runway of, over $35 million. And so that brings us basically to the end of final investment decision on the mine. So, we don't have to raise any more money for the time being for the mining project. And we've got about a 2-year runway on that. As far as I'm concerned, there's only one that's 100%, fully 100% dedicated just to phosphate, high purity igneous phosphate for the LFP battery industry. And that's First Phosphate. And that, that's why I'm so excited, because we're positioned at the right place at the right time with a lot of, groundwork, hard work having been done over these last 3 years.
Good day, everybody. It's me, just Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks, where we mine for stories that matter. And today I've got John Passalacqua from First Phosphate Corp. John is a CEO from First Phosphate. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm great, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. John, before we start, if you can just give us your company name, if you can pronounce it correctly for us, as well as the website and the ticker and where you're trading.
Yeah, so we're First Phosphate Corp. The website is www.firstphosphate.com. We trade on the Canadian Securities Stock Exchange under ticker symbol PHOS. We're averaging about 600,000 to 800,000 shares per day recently. We also trade on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange as KD0. We're averaging about 200,000 shares of volume there. We trade on the OTCQX, which is the highest order of the OTC markets, under FRSPF. You can see all these symbols right up here on the screen, and we're trading about 200,000 to 300,000 shares a day on that exchange. And we also have an innovative product, which is the American Depository Receipt, ADR, which also trades on the OTCQX under ticker symbol FPHOY, and volume's just going on that one. Sometimes we trade 1,000 to 2,000 shares a day, but that's good for institutional clients that perhaps cannot buy on the OTCQX. They've got the regular common, they've got the OTCQX ADR.
John, thank you for that. If you can give us your story, what are you guys all about? If you can tell us where you are and where you are in the life cycle.
Yeah, so, we're quite an interesting company. We're from mine to market. We're an exploration, development, and downstream clean tech company associated with high purity igneous phosphate for the lithium iron phosphate battery industry, for these batteries, which start this small and get much bigger. So we've got a property, igneous phosphate, the highest purity phosphate in the world, found in Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean, Quebec, here in North America. And the idea is to purify from the rock all the way downstream to be able to get to the guts of this, the LFP battery, the LFP cathode active material that goes into this battery, on our own on the mine, and then as we move downstream with partners. The LFP battery supply chain is mostly concentrated fully in Asia right now, and it's a big prerogative to onshore that in North America. So that's what we're all about.
John, since you mentioned your Quebec jurisdiction area and just kind of bringing the supply chain to North America, could you tell us a little bit about how friendly Quebec is as a jurisdiction? Is it as friendly as people say? Is there complications or delays or challenges in the process? And then if you can tell us a bit about the supply chain in Canada and what kind of backing you have.
Yeah, so look, Quebec is known to be a good mining jurisdiction, for better or for worse. There's always bumps along the road. It's really all about the relationships that you have inside of the government and the ministries. And so we work very hard on that, and I could say it's going very well. The Canadian government is also very favorable to the project. We just had a $16.7 million non-refundable, non-dilutive contribution by the Canadian government, which goes directly towards us, establishing the concentrator at the mine and the feasibility study to be able to to transform the phosphate from the ground into obviously phosphate that goes into the battery. So that was a really big one for us. There was about 30 companies that got grants from the Canadian government over the last few months, and we were within the top three in terms of size of magnitude. So there's real big impetus on the side of Quebec and Canada to get this resource into production as soon as possible.
My understanding is that in the area there's some pretty good infrastructure. Is that correct? And can you expound on kind of the access to roads and water?
Yeah, maybe what I'll do at this point is I'll just share my screen if you don't mind.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to try to show here is we've got a slide that deals with, which will show you exactly where we're based, et cetera. So if you look here, I don't know if you could see my cursor moving, but we're in this area of... Yeah, great. So we're in this area of Quebec. This is Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean, Quebec. It's only 2.5 hours driving distance from Quebec. It is the fifth largest population center in all of Quebec. It's got amazing industry because Rio Tinto is here in this industry, and this is where they process the aluminum that comes in from ships from around the world and up to Saguenay, where it's processed because of the great hydroelectricity in the area. So there's great workforce in the area. There's also great equipment suppliers. The roads, the railways, it's all in place there. We're at 70 kilometers from the deep sea port of Saguenay. Deep sea port of Saguenay can, you know, take in very large vessels like Panamaxes, and it gives us access to some of our off-takers over in Europe as well. So the area is amazing in terms of infrastructure on so many levels, especially the whole workforce.
So what do you guys have there? I mean, can you give us, what drew you to the asset, and if you can tell us about the grade, scale, and upside that we're talking about?
Yeah, so maybe I'll move down to the next slide here. So, you know, this is the asset, right? It's 2.5 kilometers long, and it's about 300 meters wide, and it goes down at least 300 meters and fully open at depth. And what we've been able to find there through our PEA, which is now being updated to a feasibility study later this year, we've been able to find, enough phosphate in the area for about 350 gigawatt hours of LFP batteries per annum. Now, what does that mean? That's enough to electrify half of the fleet of new vehicles in North America for the next, 25 to 50 years. So it's quite a large resource of this igneous phosphate that processes it very clean into this purified phosphoric acid here. We've got a great NPV on the property. We've got 2.1 billion NPV, IRR of 37%, and a 2.9-year payback period. So it's extremely important resource for North America in that, this is so clean and it's igneous and it converts, almost entirely into a purified phosphoric acid, which goes into batteries, which I wanted to show you here as well. Out of all the phosphates in the world, we get up to some of the cleanest grades, right? First phosphate gets up to almost a 40% pure P2O5, which is a grade of phosphate. And this phosphate, is delineated by the blue areas. So you can see it's only 5% of the world's phosphate where you find this igneous rock. And there's only really one producer of it that exports, and that's here in northern Russia. So obviously they're sitting behind sanctions. So the Western world really needs this phosphate because if you look here, right, igneous phosphate, it processes clean into purified phosphoric acid, unlike sedimentary phosphate rocks, which have a lot of cadmium, uranium, and thorium in them. And they can really be used mostly for fertilizers, and they don't produce a lot of high purity phosphoric acid for batteries. So what we have here, Steve, is really special in that, we don't have to deal with the fertilizer world. We go basically directly into high purity acid for the LFP battery industry. So it's a precious asset for these LFP batteries, which, if you look up here, right, now 61% of the cathode of the LFP battery is phosphate. So there's going to be a major shortage there. Everyone's all focused on lithium. But, the real impetus and the real bulk of the cathode is the phosphate.
So how long have you had this project for, and just kind of what's the next step in terms of progress? I know you mentioned the PEA and feasibility study. Do you have a timeline on that, and just what's the plan forward?
Yeah, so, we've completed our last 35,000 meters of drilling here. To be able to upgrade the resources from inferred and indicated up to indicated and measured. So that was completed just a few weeks ago, and we're in the process of sort of crunching that data. And then after that's done, we're going to obviously have the board meet and determine whether to move into a feasibility study, which we're targeting for the end of 2026, December of 2026, to have our feasibility study done. Our permitting and environmentals by mid 2027, and it's a very tight timeline. It's very aggressive, but we'd like to have a mine, an open pit mine, in place by mid 2029.
2029. Okay. Do you have any other, can you talk about your other assets that you guys have or what you're looking at or what the plan is there?
Yeah, so we have another property, which is just a little bit further north of from Bégin-la-Marche, La Calorignelle, that's got a PEA on it as well. It's got a decent asset on it. And then we have a number of other claims in areas where this high purity phosphate is found in Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean, Quebec. So if you total all that up, you know, it's potentially, you know, a very large, you know, window that can be established here in terms of this phosphate. I mean, the Bégin-la-Marche property right now is, as we have it, it's 23-year mine life based on that PEA, but with the subsequent drilling, we'll see where that leads us. But I mean, there's decades and hundreds of years of phosphate in the Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean area. It's a very unique phosphate. You got to find it near infrastructure, but potentially it's, you know, it's a very long lasting industry once established that could be just like the aluminum industry could be here for 100 years.
John, I want to pivot a little bit and go to your, you know, cash position and share structure. If you can tell us how much you have in the bank and how long that lasts you, if you anticipate additional financing, and if you could break down the share structure for me.
Yeah, we've got over $20 million in the bank right now. And we also have that non-dilutive.
Is that Canadian?
Yeah, over 20 million Canadian. And then we've got the non-dilutive funding from the Canadian government of 17.6 million. So if you total all that up, you know, it's a runway of, you know, over $35 million. And so that brings us basically to the end of final investment decision on the mine. So, you know, we don't have to raise any more money for the time being for the mining project. And we've got about a 2-year runway on that. Obviously, you know, if there's opportunities to raise funds strategically, we will. But it's not in the cards right now. We're very much set for the next 24 months.
And what about your share structure?
Share structure is about just under 180 million shares outstanding. There's not too many warrants left. There's some warrants that will expire at the end of this month, and then we're pretty close to warrant-free company. And we've got you know, about 10 million options out just to the board of directors and management.
Awesome. And how well do you know everyone in your registry, and how you know, how active are you on in the open market?
Yeah, very, very good question. So we've raised about $50 million to date in about 12 financings in the last 3 years since the company's been reactivated. I pretty much raised all that money myself together with my team. So I know probably 99.9% of everyone who's come into the share register. Now, obviously, the shares are free trading, so you don't know where they trade afterwards. But we've got a really good base. You know, also our management and our board. Our board is paid 100% in stock. I'm paid 100% in stock. Our management's paid 50% in stock. So, you know, we know where the stock is coming there, and we're accumulating as many shares as we can because we all have a great belief in the company. My last purchase of shares, I think, was around 70 cents or something in the market a couple months ago. I think since the inception of the company, I've purchased almost $2 million of stock, either through placements or in the market. Our board usually buys stock in the market. We were quite heavy buyers of our own shares and participate in a lot of the financings.
John, what percent are insiders and institutions, and any meaningful insiders, institutions that are worth mentioning here?
Yeah, so I think board and management, we've got over 20% of the stock, 20% of the stock.
Okay.
That's before options and warrants and all of that. Then we've got, you know, friends and family and institutions probably gets to another 40%. And then there's another 40% that's actively traded in the market. There are a lot of notable institutions and family offices, but we can't really mention them. The only one that has allowed us to mention publicly is Alpha North. I don't know if you know the Alpha North Fund.
Okay.
But other than that, we've got a lot of really good high net worth and institutions of smaller scale in the cap structure.
How much does Alpha North have, and you know, what are you guys doing to attract more institutions if that's kind of on the forefront?
Yeah, look, I don't know about Alpha North's holdings. You could probably go on their website. I don't know if they put that out there or not, and I don't know how, okay, how their position changes. You know, we're attracting more and more high net worth in institutions. The stock has come to a level where, you know, it can now get that kind of institutional involvement. We're over, you know, $200 to $250 million market cap. We're sort of floating in between that level, about 200 and change right now. So that that does help on the institutional side.
And your market cap right now?
It's about just over 200 million.
And how would you say you compare with your peers there? And, you know, do you guys see a disconnect, or, you know, where do you see underlying value with your company?
Yeah, so there aren't too many peers in phosphate, especially phosphate for electrification. As far as we know, we're the only company that's, you know, 100% focused on phosphate for LFP battery. So for that reason, it's hard to find comparables. There's other comparables in the phosphate space, but they're most of them are mainly tied to fertilizer. You know, if you tie us into sort of critical minerals, usually we find critical mineral companies, you know, that can trade anywhere between 15% to 30% of the value of their PEA. We're trading a little bit under 10%. I think it might be about 7 or 8 right now. So there's a lot of room for growth there.
And John, you mentioned a couple things that, so you said that most people focus on lithium for battery, and you mentioned phosphate. Can you tell us just, make me a believer in phosphate, if you will, and why are you so bullish on phosphate? How did you get connected with the company? And then you also mentioned reactivated. If you can just kind of break that down, what do you mean the company got reactivated?
Yeah, so I'm sort of the founder and lead investor and main investor in the company as well. I mean, there's been a lot of rounds of financing since then. I've been diluted down. But the company First Phosphate used to be called First Potash, believe it or not. It was a shell. It had been dormant for 10 years. We cleaned up the company and reactivated it, and then we bought the phosphate claims directly in it, and we went from there. So this was about 3 to 3.5 years ago.
Okay. And you guys, what's your background? And if you can give us the background of your team and just kind of who do you have around you that, you know, would assure me that you guys are the right people for the project?
Yeah, so my background is mostly technology. It's capital markets. You know, I kind of see this, the battery. I kind of saw the mine as a means to get to the battery. Our team, I can show you a little bit about our team. Our team is I really like our team because we're sort of cross-functional. You know, we're very good in three things: capital markets, we're very good in technology, and we're very good in mining. And I think the mining and technology angle is really important, because that gets us to, you know, what we really are, which is mining tech, right? The mine to get through to the technology to get all the way downstream. And you know, the real important thing about this and why I got really hooked to this kind of phosphate is because, like I said, this type of phosphate here, you know, it produces large amounts of purified phosphoric acid for LFP batteries, and that's where the whole demand growth is going to be, right? Like here, you know, if you look at what Benchmark is saying, the second most important mineral for electrification is phosphoric acid, right after copper. So that's extremely important, right? So phosphoric acid is going to be in great demand. And like I said, people are kind of sleeping a little bit on that. Everyone's focused on lithium. But as you know, right, LFP batteries are now at least 70 to 80% of the entire battery output in the world. And most of that's being done over in Asia. And, you know, look at the lithium. The lithium is only 4% of these batteries, and 60% is phosphate. Like, where is that going to come from? So I like to follow Wayne Gretzky, who always said, you know, you don't skate to where the puck is now. You've got to skate to where the puck is going. So, you know, we were involved in phosphate, you know, back 3 years ago, when everybody thought, you know, nickel, manganese, cobalt batteries are going to be the batteries of choice. And they're still out there. But the phosphate has displaced all of them, because it's not about, you know, if you go up here a little bit, you know, it's not about electric vehicles anymore. Like, this is the whole spectrum of LFP, right? AI data centers, large-scale energy storage, telecom, robotics, marine and agricultural, defense applications, charging stations. All of this is built on LFP batteries. So LFP batteries really the versatile technology of mass adoption, as it says up there. And so we're kind of skating to where the puck is going. So I'm really excited, right? Because we're skating right into here, right? Yeah. All this open ice here. Look at all that beautiful blue ice right there, right? So sometimes you got to be able to go a little bit against the grain. But, you know, the understanding is coming. Like, you know, we've had a really, really good appreciation in our share price recently. You know, I felt like all of these critical minerals have had their day. Like, you know, lithium has had its day. Graphite has had its day of a day of awakening, day of reckoning, day of understanding. So too has copper, lithium, manganese, cobalt, rare earths. And so I feel that phosphate is one of those. and the recognition is just starting to come. So it's really perfect. Like, we've built this company during the days when, you know, nobody knew or nobody understood, and when it was really bad days for electrification there. You know, now we're sitting at the right place at the right time, like perfectly positioned for all of this, and with, you know, well-oiled management, and, you know, we are the go-to name for phosphate for electrification anywhere on world exchanges. If you go onto the, you know, any of the world exchanges, you can find about 150 companies in the lithium space. You can find about another 100 in the iron space. You can find, you know, many in the phosphate for fertilizer space, maybe 10 or 20. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one that's 100%, fully 100% dedicated just to phosphate, high purity igneous phosphate for the LFP battery industry. And that's First Phosphate. And that, you know, that's why I'm so excited, because we're positioned at the right place at the right time with a lot of, you know, groundwork, hard work having been done over these last 3 years.
John, I've got one last question is, why do you think it's taken so long for people to catch on? Why is the day of reckoning for phosphate, you know, delayed from lithium if they're so critical for the LFPs?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, I think the day of awakening is here. Like, I think it's already started, and it's looking great. But I think it took some time, because the nickel manganese cobalt was seen as the battery of choice. And while it was, even though it's been going downhill for the past 3 years, it just takes people time, especially in the Western world, to sort of readapt and re-understand where the puck is going. So there, you know, when you're playing hockey, you know, everyone was in the corner on nickel manganese cobalt. We were sitting in the other corner waiting for the puck to come to us. And sure enough, the passes come, right? And it's, you know, you just got to know one statistic. 70% at least of the batteries in the world are, you know, phosphate batteries. You know, everybody wants to onshore that in North America, and we are perfect for that. We've got the deposit, the resource, the phosphate, and the technology to be able to do it.
Awesome. John, any news that might be coming out that people should be looking out for, any catalysts that people should be paying attention, and how do people follow your story more closely? And then if you could one more time, just give us your ticker and your website one more time.
Yeah, so anybody wanting to get onto our newsletter list should go on to www.firstphosphate.com and just sign up for our newsletter list. It'll pop up right when you go to the website. You know, obviously our ticker symbols are PHOS, as you can see right here on the Canadian Securities Exchange, KD0 on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, FRSPF on the OTCQX, and again, the American Depository Receipt, FPHOY. You know, and we just recently announced a couple of things, right? The $17 million contribution from the Canadian government, and also the Export Credit Agency of Denmark recently just gave us a guarantee and a loan commitment for 170 million euros, 170 million euros, towards the development of our mine. You know, we've been speaking to the market, letting the market know that, you know, we're coming out with our final drill results here in the next little while, which it's just meant to prove up the resource so that we can move into feasibility. And we're looking to move into feasibility study completed by the end of 2026, permitting by, you know, 2027, and an operational open pit mine by 2029. Also, in January of this year, we announced that one of our off-takers had put a prepayment down already on their phosphate concentrate deliveries, just showing, you know, the confidence in the project and the need for this and how they wanted to get to the front of the line. So we've got a lot of things going for us. We got support by our off-takers. We got support from the government. We've got a massive trend on LFP battery, a massive trend on phosphate. And I say to everybody, you know, just do your research yourself. Like, you know, where are we going to get the P in LFP, right? So we are the P in LFP, and we are the go-to name here for that. And if you're looking to invest in something different than, you know, all the other critical minerals for electrification, one that might be, you know, have, you know, might be a good rising star, I think it's phosphate. And bet on our management team, and, you know, bet on our resource as well.
John, great. Thank you so much. For our listeners, John and First Phosphate have not paid for this interview. I am not currently an investor, although that may change. John, thank you so much for your time. Again, I cannot give investment advice, but one thing you can do is do your due diligence and reach out to John, follow their story, check out their website and their ticker. John, thank you so much for your time, for being here, and for sharing your story.
Yeah, great to be here, Steve. I really, really appreciate it. And all the best to your listeners in these, treacherous markets.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you.